this is a special episode in some ways, where we tend to dive deeper on a certain topic and less on trending topics of the week. So one thing that we have spoken about a few times here and there is smartphones and something used to do actually in the early days of, of Cold Fusion, your channel. So you used to cover smartphones in general?
Right? Yeah, cover smartphones and review smartphones, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So and was it just out of passion at the time? Like you just enjoyed?
Well, at the time, I saw that there was something very interesting happening because the iPhone came out and it changed everything. But then, you know, around 2000, well, it was actually when the HTC HD2, I don't know if you ever remember that phone, but when that came out, I was excited because it had such a big screen. It was 4.3 inches at the time and that was like massive. So it ran Windows Mobile, which was the only issue with it.
Right.
So then a community online, they decided to put Android on it and Windows Phone. So it ran three operating systems and it became just the phone. So I was doing some modding with that, some modding of the software and made a new UI for it and I was just loving it. And then the Galaxy Note came out and then that's what changed everything. I was like, this is it. So people just didn't understand what a big screen phone meant because they just saw it and it was like, it's too big for your pocket. Yeah. It's just cumbersome. Why do you need a phone screen that big? They thought the iPhone screen of 3.5 inches at the time was massive. That was big enough. But I saw that this is what you're going to be spending all of your time on. This is like your portal to the world. So you want that screen to be as big as possible. So I kind of, you know, was modding with that as well. And before Samsung DeX came out, I connected it to an HDMI with my interface so you could have like a phone computer.
Wow.
But, you know, with a keyboard and mouse and everything, but it was before Samsung DeX. So that's kind of what brought the channel to like prominence in the tech reviewing field back at that time. So, yeah, it definitely was out of passion.
So you're saying you invented Samsung DeX?
Once I invented it, I had the idea many years before they did. That's
so awesome. So official. but jokes aside, I think one of the things at that time was there were leaps between each phone release in terms of innovation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing, the core topic that we want to discuss here today is that the fact that our smartphones, you know, getting more boring over the years. Personally, I've seen that the gap between, obviously the smartphone releases is probably the smallest it's ever been. It's a year for each.
It's been like that for a fair while, actually.
Fair while, right.
But it means less and less, though.
Yeah. Because for each update, it's like you don't really need to update each year or each time something's released because the
increment, it's
smaller. Very small, right? So what's your take on the fact that, you know, the smartphones are becoming more and more boring?
Stale, yeah.
Stale.
I'm actually in two camps. So if you're talking about, you know, candy bar phones like this, yes, they are getting quite boring, but only because of the fact that they're getting so good. So like, you know, the difference between like a good, if you choose well, a good like, let's in US dollars, like say, let's say $300 or $400 phone versus the top of the line flagship is actually, you know, it's probably like the 80-20 rule. So like you're 80% of the way there, you're probably going to have some compromises in terms of like slight speed, but you're not going to notice that unless you're playing heavy games. It's going to be as fast and everything else. Cameras, that's probably the main one. They're going to be a little bit less in low light, and also the screen. They're probably going to not be as bright, or they may have the sharpness, but you know, there might be other compromises there. But for everything else, like they're catching up quite well. So you're getting most of the things that you would get on a flagship for a lower end phone, and that kind of encompasses the whole reason of like, you know, how much better can they get? Because I think, you know, Foxconn and all these manufacturers that are manufacturing the bulk of our phones, like they've got the components so cheap, they work so well that it's almost like there's quite little differentiation, and the competitive advantage is not with Samsung or like, you know, one, well, it kind of is, but it's not to the extent that it used to be. So that's for the candy bar phones, but for other form factors like, you know, folding phones and rollables and clamshell designs and everything, I think that's the next leg and kind of where I see the excitement coming back a little bit. So it's not quite there yet. We're at like, you know, the second or third year of this kind of stuff. So I think in 3 or 4 years' time, we're going to start seeing some really, really cool stuff that works well, is durable, and people are just like, wow. So yeah, it's kind of in two camps. There's like the mainstream shoot, and then there's this offshoot of like interesting stuff that's going on. But what about yourself? What do you think?
No, I honestly find that you're right. The innovation side of, you know, cell phones is really not like the change is very, very little.
Mm-hmm.
There's this, I think the same with a lot of other products and tech products as well. But as a consumer, you know, like I'm not a big tech head when it comes to like getting each and every different versions of cell phones like MKBHD or someone else. Mm-hmm. But I've always been using the Pixels. Mm-hmm. So I've been using a Google phone since 2011. So the Nexus at first and the Nexus 4.
Yeah.
And then I got the first Pixel, and then it's just been, I think I've been upgrading every 2 years and stuff. Uh-huh. The every year.
Yeah.
So I just recently got the Pixel 6 Pro, which I have had some pretty interesting, you know, experience with.
Uh-huh.
But overall, you know, the change between my latest phone to my previous one, which is a Pixel 3 XL,
mm-hmm.
Isn't that big except for the camera.
Mm.
And in some ways the camera is even worse. And I know it's specific to the Pixel phone itself, but I'm sure it's very, very similar for a lot of the other lines of phones as well.
I've heard that the S21's camera is better in some situations than the S22.
Exactly.
So it does happen. And I'm kind of the same. Like for a long time I used to upgrade my phone every year.
Yeah.
Get a new phone, but then the past few years I've kind of just been like, it's good enough, it works.
Exactly.
And then when you see the one that comes out, it's like, it's not really worth the upgrade.
Absolutely. And I think for me, because you know, my professional line is within marketing and social media and content creation, you know, doing podcasts and being up to date about a lot of the videos that come out, that's why I tend to have this, you know, inclination to do these, get upgrades.
Yeah.
But if I didn't, I don't know if I would be upgrading so frequently. Like, I can just call, I can, you know, text, and I can catch up with my friends and look at social media every now and then. That's about it, right? And and the only reason I do it is because of some of the specific, you know, ways that it helps me with my line of work.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's true for a lot of people. Like most people nowadays upgrade their phone every 2 years or every 3 years. And I kind of feel like a lot of smartphone companies have started to become a bit lazy because there's not really a reason to take risks. Because if you look at some of the companies that did, like LG, they took a lot of risks doing some crazy stuff with their phones, and they kind of left the game. And then HTC, I'm sad about them, man. They really, really gave it a good shot. Some of their phones were excellent. Now they're kind of out of the game too. Samsung is taking risks, and they're kind of the only ones that are staying. They got the folding phones, you know, the clamshell phone as well.
Yeah.
But I guess the thing about them is that they just simply just have the money to keep throwing ideas and stay around. But there's just not that much of incentive to take massive risks in the smartphone game because, you know, you can just kind of put out something with stock standard parts and you know, it's not.
And they're all kind of focusing a lot on the camera because of the way content creation is such a big driver. The creator economy is massive. So you'll see that Samsung has its own kind of creator labs. Google has its creative lab. And Apple obviously has done the cinematic upgrade to its videos. So I think they're pushing a lot of the focus on the latest updates is how can it help a lot of the creators.
Mm.
Because if you look at it, there's not a lot of ways you can make things like better, like in terms of the innovation side of things. Like, what else is there to do?
There is one thing, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, for me, that's battery, for example. Like, I think that's one end that you can actually, you know, pioneer and make a huge, you know, revolution in terms of cell phone usage. But everything else, it's like, I think it's reaching that ceiling of how we know or what a cell phone is right now.
Yeah.
But what was the thing that you mentioned?
Well, just before we get to that, so like it's kind of reaching the ceiling of the use case of a smartphone.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if you want a smartphone, this is going to do everything that you want as good as, you know, that far away from the ceiling. But I guess that the one thing that could be interesting is essentially like I did a video on Apple's AR leaks and what was going on with their AR glasses and stuff, and some of the things that they were putting in their iPhones, and people are kind of wondering like, why is that happening? Why does it need to be so powerful and everything? But interestingly, there's some rumors saying that the iPhone will actually power the AR glasses, essentially. So it'll be the brains, and then you'll just kind of put on these glasses, and then it'll kind of like have this world that. So that could be something that's quite interesting in terms of like it being an engine for like accessories that you have. That's another direction I can see smartphones being used in, like wearables and other things, but for more powerful use cases than you can have on a native chip within the device. I think that could be something that's interesting. But yeah, I feel like apart from that, like, yeah, smartphones are pretty much as good as we need them to be. There could be maybe some strange, interesting use cases that we haven't really thought about or just aren't yet possible that could be coming in the future. But as far as picking up a phone and calling, scrolling, taking photos and everything, you know, what more?
Yeah, I think the this weird thing that it's weird now, but who knows what'll be in the future. But about like screen that you can taste. Have you seen that?
I think someone.
It's probably in Japan. It has to be in Japan, man. But I think they invented like, they're trialing an innovation of test, like they tasting uh-huh. the screen to feel yeah, what
yeah.
is being viewed on the screen. And that's the thing, like the whole idea of tech is basically how it can start hijacking your senses, right? Uh-huh. I think hijacking is probably a bit of an aggressive word, but how it starts making a mark or just grabbing territory over your senses, right? I mean, it's captured all our other senses, like hearing and vision and even touch to a lot of ways. So pretty much the only things left is
taste and smell. Ways. But yeah, like I think...
And smell. And I think they kind of go together in a lot of ways. Yeah. So
yeah. I have heard about that, but I think... I don't know. It is
gross. Yeah. It's disgusting. But at the same time, it's like that's kind of where, you know, like innovation circle has to go to that. Okay, like what else can we explore? And I think it's okay to explore these things because sometimes exploring one thing can lead to
other creative stuff. Something interesting, yeah.
But, you know, that's one aspect that I saw. The other thing is about obviously the whole idea of holograms and being able to have...
Sorry, there's something I remember, but go on.
Yeah, no. But yeah, like that was my thing. Like holograms would be the next kind of, you know, like air-based movement and things of that sort. But
not quite holograms, but there was, I think it was 2011, Samsung released a phone called the Galaxy Beam. And what it was this phone that you press a button and it had like quite a powerful like 1,500 watt bulb, something quite powerful, and it could project like a 2 meter screen on a wall or a ceiling or whatever. And I was like, that is a cool idea. Yeah. But then, you know, they tried it once, didn't sell well, and that was it.
And the thing is the use case, right? Yeah. It's just like how many people would actually want or need that kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can think of it's a cool thing to have around. Like if I suddenly wanted to watch a movie with friends having a night over or something instead of TV, I'll just pop it on the phone, on the screen, on the big
wall. But then you got the problem with sound. It's like tiny speakers.
So it's like things like that. And the use case for that is so, so minimal. And I think that's what's happening with phones right now is that anything extra, it's like the use case is. I think wearables right now are getting through that renaissance that we saw with phones. Mm-hmm. So I think the next things that are going to happen are things that complement a phone. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the watches, the glasses, and anything else that they can think of. But for the phone itself, it's like, yeah, I don't know, man. It's
It looks like it's to the end of its maturity cycle, or at least the first wave until there's some implant or something that that kind of goes to the next stage. But this first phase of the original candy bar capacitive touchscreen is like, I think.
What about the carriers, right? Like, so if you look at it from the perspective of telecommunication companies, the providers of fast internet, you know, obviously we're at 5G right now, thanks to my vaccines. We'll probably have to cut it.
Please consult your medical.
But you know what I mean, like with the speed
Yes. Yeah.
That you get on your phones. Yeah. Again, it almost feels like we are towards the higher end.
Well,
I mean, you obviously can get better,
yeah,
right?
But
any increment in it right now, because that was again an area that these phone companies are trying to solve. That okay, like how fast you can get data up and running on your phone, and I think it's still a very solvable thing for developing countries with low to minimal internet, but for most of the up and running countries with fast internet, I don't know what else can you do really, even the picture quality, 1080p, 4K, all that kind of stuff just comes up in a second. So
yeah, no, you're right. But then there'll be some use. There's some law. I can't remember what it's called. Obviously there's Moore's law and everything, but there's another one. It's not Gresham's law. That's finance, I'm pretty sure. But there's another law where it's like whatever spare capacity any computing system has or like any chip or whatever, people wonder why it's there, but it will always get used up eventually.
Right.
So it's like there may be some use cases that don't exist now, but in the future it'll be like, oh, okay, so that's where this makes sense. But I can't really think of it now.
What about cost? Because that's something, the higher end phones are very, very expensive for, the day-to-day average user to be upgrading almost every year. I think, certain markets act differently, obviously, again, going back to my South Asian or Southeast Asian roots, people that I've seen there, the way they use their phones is different to the way I see people here, using their phones, right? And the markets are also quite different. But it seems like with the cost kind of, I think it's increasing for a lot of the phones, and still in that $1,000 mark, it seems like the average for any of the higher end phones that you want to buy. Do you think that could be an angle that, bringing the cost down would be a way for, but then that solves an issue that doesn't, benefit the shareholders. So I don't know if that's an angle you think that could perhaps.
Well, I guess, obviously we were talking, there could be some issues that bring up costs in the future in terms of supply chains and everything. But we're talking about long term.
Yeah.
Like overall, like technology goes down. It's like a deflationary force. Like it costs less and less to get chips. Like imagine building a chip as powerful as our phone in 1950 where it costs like the world's budget. But like now it's, not that, like $50 or whatever. Yeah. But like, so the cost should come down. Like for the long run, it should be almost like phones are like a commodity that can easily be. But I think that could be an area to attack, and I think the first company that really makes a phone that – remember how the OnePlus used to be the flagship killer? Like they used to have phones for half the price and with all the top specs. If someone could do that but could have like cameras that are better than an iPhone or better than a Google phone, then I think there's a real spark that could be had. It's like, wow, this phone, there's absolutely no reason to get like a high-end $1,000 phone, like kind of because this does everything. It's almost like that, but as I said, it's like the 80-20, but if it could get to like 105 to 100 in terms in favor of the cheaper phone, that would be incredible. But I don't really see that happening for quite a while.
What about gaming phones? Because that's thing.
Interesting, yeah.
Because that's another thing that a lot of companies are still exploring, right? I think Razer's
Asus,
got one.
Yeah.
Asus got one. What's the other one? Red? Oh, no, sorry. The Red's got the...
Red Hydrogen one.
No, that wasn't a gaming phone. That was
a camera. That was just a bad thing, yeah.
I don't know much about it.
So this is totally kind of off topic, but did you ever watch that Netflix series Don't Look Up?
Yeah.
So the phone that CEO tech guy who was like the Steve Jobs had was like a red hydrogen one. I noticed that straight away and I was like, oh, that's so funny.
That's a nice kind of inside joke. That's cool.
Okay. Gaming phones, I think, there's something to be said for that. But then again, like what difference is there really? They have some copper cooling, their chips are a little overclocked. Maybe they have a bigger battery, but it's like they're just a good phone with like a gaming case on it. It's not really anything crazy. It's not like they can play like the latest games at full resolution or anything. It's not like what's that latest one, Steam Deck. It's not anything like that,
right?
It's like still a phone, so it's I still don't really see
I'm trying to think of all other angles, but it all seems very industry specific rather than a wide use for a regular day-to-day consumer. even like, you know, you've got the creator side of things, the gaming side of things. Even if you look at use at very, let's say, very difficult scenarios, like, I don't know, mining or going, you know, for long treks or things of that sort of thing. That, again, is an industry that they can explore, but it's, again, a very niche industry, right? It's not
there something- is that, what's it? Cat, I think it's Cat, like Caterpillar. They have their phone, which is like super rugged and
exactly
amazing battery life and stuff. But
so again, that's again for a very specific use case and not again for the. So
yeah.
I think that's probably an area that we'll start seeing a bit more exploration and innovation, where they're trying to cater to a certain industry that has really one big value prop, but for the day to day user. Like I don't know. Do you upgrade your phone every year?
As I said, like I used to, but now it's like every 2 years kind of thing. Yeah.
Brayden, do you upgrade your phone every year?
No, it's probably 2 years ish.
Well, what phone do you use right now?
I've got a Note 21 or Note 20.
I mean, you're a producer and a, you know, creator. Like, does that help in any way, or do you just use it as a regular phone?
No, see, I'm working in media is like. I hate using a phone camera. Do you know what I mean? Because I always have my camera. Like, I use a phone for socials and to file
organization.
To go,
right,
Dropbox
right.
And things like that. And that's it. I could use any phone. Like, it literally wouldn't matter. It's, yeah, I rely on all my other gear for the stuff that I do.
That's super interesting, right? Because right now we're talking about creators using phones that are built for, and here we have a creator right here who's, you know, full on producer, and he's like, no, I'd rather have a phone without a camera.
Yeah,
because so even then, there's like a niche within a niche, right?
Yeah, I think just rounding out here, I think one of the things about phones that annoys me, it's a little pet peeve, but pretty much every phone, maybe apart from the iPhone, has this like stuttering thing. When you're doing video recording, it's like, you know, they say like 120 frames per second or whatever, but it's kind of like when you like pan or something, you can see it kind of doing that. And it's like every phone, I don't know why. It's just like, just can't figure out how to get it smooth. But it's a small thing where I just
exactly. Yeah. And I think those are the little things that they can try and improve. But overall,
it's pretty much there, you know?
Yeah.
So, overall, I think we can both agree that, or at least candy bar phones are kind of like stagnating at the moment.
So through the web, verdict.
Verdict is in.
Verdict is in.
Stagnated.
Phones are stale. All right, on that note, I think we've also reached the ceiling of our conversation here.
Yeah. All right. So, thanks guys for watching, and hope you enjoyed this episode. And we'll see you again soon for the next one. Cheers.